This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the boundary method to stop a family member's toxic traits from repeating. A practical system for breaking the cycle of harmful family behaviour. In short, this article covers one core framework from Say It Right Every Time, and explains all 8 steps you need to stop a family member's toxic traits from repeating in your relationship. The boundary method, an 8-step system for firm, compassionate limit setting. How to define real consequences and apply them without guilt. How to reevaluate and adjust without abandoning the boundary entirely. Definition: the boundary method family framework is a structured 8-step approach to identifying, communicating, and consistently reinforcing limits with family members whose toxic traits cause ongoing harm, covering everything from clarity of needs through to yielding toward workable solutions. You had the conversation. You said everything you needed to say. You were calm, clear, and even kind about it. And then, 3 weeks later, your mother made the same cutting remark, your brother crossed the same line, or your father ignored the same limit you had spent days preparing yourself to state out loud. That is not a communication failure. That is a structure failure. Without a system behind you, even the most courageous conversation dissolves under the weight of family history, guilt, and the sheer force of a toxic trait that has been running unchecked for years. The boundary method exists to fix that. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the boundary method in Chapter 9 as an 8-step framework for setting limits with family members in a way that is both firm and compassionate. It is not a script for a single conversation. It is a system you build and maintain, because stopping toxic traits from repeating requires more than one honest exchange. It requires consistent follow-through, and this method gives you the structure to deliver it. Why good intentions cannot stop toxic family patterns alone. Here is the truth that most people approach difficult family conversations as if speaking clearly once is enough. They prepare their words, they say them, and they wait for change. When the toxic trait reappears, they feel defeated, as though the fault lies in them rather than in the absence of a real system. Toxic traits in family relationships are deeply rooted. They are reinforced by shared history, by unspoken expectations that have calcified over decades, and by what I call in Chapter 9 the invisible fences of family communication, the unwritten rules about what can and cannot be said, challenged, or changed. These fences protect toxic behaviour far more reliably than the person behaving badly ever could on their own. When pressure builds in a family conversation, people revert to their defaults. The person challenging the toxic behaviour either escalates, backs down, or goes silent. Without a framework holding them steady, the conversation collapses into the same pattern it was meant to break. Structure gives you something to hold onto when the emotional weight of the room is pushing you toward your worst habits. A single conversation can start the process. Only a consistent system can finish it. The boundary method. All 8 steps explained. I developed this framework because I watched too many people set what they called boundaries that were, in practice, simply requests with no real weight behind them. As I wrote in Say It Right Every Time, a boundary without a consequence is just a suggestion. The boundary method is designed to close that gap, step by step. Step 1. Be clear about the specific behaviour. What it is. Identify and name the exact toxic trait causing harm, not a general frustration or a pattern of feeling bad. How it works. Number 1. Write down the specific behaviour, not the emotion it causes. You make comments about my weight at every family meal is a behaviour. You make me feel worthless is an emotion. Number 2. Gather 2 or 3 concrete examples with context so you're not speaking in abstractions. Number 3. Prepare 1 clear sentence that names the behaviour without character assassination. In use. Mom, I need to talk to you about the comment you make about how I look when we eat together. It has happened at Christmas, at Sarah's birthday dinner, and last Sunday. When to use it? Always. You cannot set a boundary around a vague feeling. You can only set it around a specific, observable behaviour. When not to use it? Do not skip past this step, because the behaviour feels obvious to you. What is obvious to you is often genuinely invisible to the other person. Eamon's note. Vagueness is the enemy of change. A family member cannot stop a behaviour they have not clearly heard named. Step 2. Own your needs without apology. What it is. State what you need from this relationship, plainly, and without softening it into a preference. How it works. Number 1. Use I need rather than I would prefer or it would be nice if. The language of need signals that this is not negotiable. Number 2. Connect your need directly to the behavior you named in step 1. Number 3. Deliver it without the habitual qualifiers that family conversations breed. I know you mean well, but I'm sorry to bring this up, but in use, I need those comments to stop. Not to be less frequent, to stop entirely. When to use it. After step 1 has been clearly stated, as its natural follow-through. When not to use it. Do not conflate owning your needs with being rigid about solutions. The need is non-negotiable. The path to meeting it may have room for discussion. Eamon's note. Years of family conditioning teach us to shrink our needs into requests. Own what you actually need. The relationship can handle it. Step 3. Understand their perspective without excusing the behavior. What it is. Acknowledge that the other person has their own history, pressures, and blind spots, without using that acknowledgement to absorb the toxic trait back into yourself. How it works. Number 1. Before the conversation, ask yourself what drives this behavior in the other person. Genuine curiosity, not excuse making. Number 2. In the conversation, reflect their perspective back briefly. I know you grew up in a household where this kind of comment was normal. Number 3. Then hold the line. That does not make it acceptable to me. In use. I know your mother spoke to you this way, and you may not even realize how it lands. That context matters to me. And the impact on me is the same regardless of the intention. When to use it. When the other person has a genuine blind spot rather than deliberate cruelty. It helps lower defensiveness without surrendering your position. When not to use it. Do not use the step to excuse repeated, conscious behavior. Understanding someone's history is not the same as accepting that history as your burden to carry. Eamon's note. You are not talking to just a person. As I wrote and say it right every time, you're talking to a lifetime of shared history of love and resentment, of joy and pain. Acknowledge the history. Do not be buried by it. Step 4. Navigate the reaction with steadiness. What it is. Prepare for and manage the predictable emotional responses a family member will deploy when their toxic trait is confronted directly. How it works. Number 1. Anticipate the 3 most likely reactions: guilt-tripping, minimizing, or anger. Write them down before the conversation. Number 2. Prepare a short, consistent response to each one sentence that holds your ground without escalating. Number 3. Use silence as a tool. You do not need to fill every pause with reassurance. In use. If they say, I can't believe you're attacking me like this, your prepared response might be, I'm not attacking you. I'm telling you what I need. I'd like us to be able to talk about this calmly. When to use it. This is the step most people skip. They prepare their opening words, but not their response to pushback. Prepare for the reaction as carefully as you prepare for the conversation. When not to use it. Do not rehearse so rigidly that you cannot listen. You are preparing for stability, not scripting a debate. Eamon's note. The reaction is not a sign that you have failed. It is a sign that the toxic trait has been protected for a long time and does not want to be disturbed. Step 5. Decide the consequences in advance. What it is. Define, clearly, and specifically, what will happen if the behavior continues after the boundary has been stated. How it works. Number 1. Choose a consequence you're genuinely willing and able to follow through on. Do not threaten what you will not deliver. Number 2. State the consequence in plain terms, not as a punishment, but as a natural response to repeated behavior. Number 3. Write it down before the conversation so you cannot soften it in the moment. In use. If you make those comments again at a family meal, I will excuse myself and leave. Not as a punishment to you, but because I will not sit through it. When to use it. Every time. A boundary stated without a consequence is, as I said earlier, just a suggestion. The consequence is what gives the boundary its structure. When not to use it. Do not set consequences that harm other people, particularly children, or that you will be unable to maintain over time. The consequence must be both real and sustainable. Eamon's note. This step frightens people. They worry about seeming cruel. Deciding a consequence in advance is the most honest thing you can do. It removes ambiguity for both of you. Step 6. Apply the consequences consistently. What it is. Follow through every single time the boundary is crossed, without exception, without negotiation, and without apology. How it works. Number 1. The first time the boundary is crossed after being stated, apply the consequence immediately and calmly. Number 2. Do not explain yourself at length in that moment. A short statement is enough. I said I would leave if this happened. I'm leaving now. Number 3. Return to the relationship after the consequence, without hostility, to signal that this is about the behaviour, not the person. In use, your parent makes the comment again at Sunday dinner. You set down your fork, say quietly, "I told you I would leave if this happened," and you go. No scene, no lengthy explanation, just the consequence, applied, when to use it, every time, without fail. One exception teaches the other person that the boundary is negotiable, as you will lose months of progress in a single moment, when not to use it. Do not apply consequences in public scenes designed to humiliate. The goal is behaviour change, not winning. Eamon's note. Consistency is where most people break down. Life gets complicated, guilt floods in, and the temptation to let it slide feels overwhelming. This is exactly where the method earns its value. Step 7. Re-evaluate as the relationship evolves. What it is. Periodically assess whether the boundary is working, whether it still fits the relationship, and whether it needs adjustment. How it works. Number 1. Set a specific review point, perhaps 3 months in, to honestly assess what has changed. Number 2. Ask 3 questions. Has the behaviour decreased? Has the relationship changed in quality? Am I still willing to hold this line? Number 3. Adjust the consequence or the approach if the current one is not producing change. But do not reduce the boundary itself simply because holding it is hard. In use. After 3 months of applying the consequence, you notice the comments have halved in frequency, but not stopped. You re-examine whether the consequence is landing clearly or whether a direct conversation about progress is now needed. When to use it? Routinely. Ongoing reinforcement of boundaries is a process, not a one-time event. Circumstances shift, relationships change, and your needs may evolve. When not to use it? Do not re-evaluate from a place of guilt or exhaustion. Re-evaluate from a place of honest assessment. Eamon's note. A boundary that never changes becomes a wall. A boundary that re-evaluates stays a bridge. Step 8. Yield to workable solutions together. What it is. Once the boundary is established and holding, look for ways to meet both your needs and the other person's need for connection within the new parameters. How it works. Number 1. Signal your willingness to strengthen the relationship now that the harmful behaviour is being addressed. Number 2. Propose one small positive step, a phone call, a different kind of shared activity, a new way of spending time together that avoids the context where the toxic trait typically appears. Number 3. Make clear that yielding to a solution is not the same as surrendering the boundary. In use. I would genuinely like us to have a better relationship. Now that we have talked about this, maybe we could try meeting for a walk instead of a family meal for a while, until we've found our footing with this. When to use it? When the other person has shown genuine willingness to change, and when the relationship has value worth protecting. When not to use it? Do not yield to solutions as a way of softening consequences that have not yet taken effect. Yield after the boundary has held, not before. Eamon's note. A family conversation is not a battle to win. It is a problem to solve. This final step is where you shift from defending yourself to rebuilding something better. How to choose the right step to lean on where a conversation goes off course. The boundary method is sequential by design, but in life family conversations, you will not always move cleanly from one step to the next. Knowing which step to return to when things go sideways is what separates a structured approach from a controlled one. What is happening in the conversation return to this step? They deny the behaviour ever happened. Step 1. Be clear with specific examples. You feel yourself apologising for having needs. Step 2. Own your needs again, plainly. You are getting caught up in their history or pain. Step 3. Acknowledge, then hold the line. They are escalating emotionally. Step 4. Navigate with prepared responses. You cannot remember what you said you would do. Step 5. State the consequence again simply. You let a violation go without response. Step 6. Apply the consequence at the next occurrence. The boundary feels outdated or too harsh. Step 7. Re-evaluate honestly before changing it. Progress is real, but the relationship feels cold. Step 8. Yield toward a practical solution. The most common failure point is between steps 5 and 6. People define the consequence clearly and then do not apply it. When you find yourself here, do not try to catch up with a bigger consequence. Simply apply what you said you would do at the next opportunity, calmly, and without commentary on the gap. For conversations where toxic behaviour is driven by passive aggression rather than open confrontation, it helps to read how to address passive-aggressive behaviour that's silently eroding team synergy as a companion piece, since many of the same deflection tactics appear in family settings. What stops the boundary method from working? Let me tell you something I learned the hard way. A method is only as strong as the person applying it. These are the most common places people undercut their own work, the mistake. Setting a consequence you are not willing to follow through on. Why it happens. In the moment of stating a boundary, people choose a consequence that feels strong rather than one that is sustainable. What to do instead? Choose the smallest consequence you will genuinely apply every time, not the most dramatic one you can imagine. The mistake. Returning to the subject at the wrong moment when the other person is defensive or the environment is charged. Why it happens. Urgency overrides timing, and the conversation starts before either person is grounded. What to do instead? If possible, set a pre-gathering expectation before a family event. As outlined in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time, a brief, calm conversation that names what you need before the situation arises. The mistake. Treating one successful conversation as the end of the process. Why it happens. The relief after a hard conversation is real, and it tricks people into believing the work is done. What to do instead? Commit to the full cycle. Boundary setting in family relationships is a process, not an event. The mistake. Making the consequence about punishment rather than self-protection. Why it happens. Anger bleeds into the consequence setting phase, and the boundary starts to feel like retaliation. What to do instead? Frame every consequence as what you will do, not what you will do to them. I will leave rather than you will be sorry. If you're dealing with conflict patterns that involve blame cycles, the principles in how to use I statements in team conversations to prevent synergy-breaking blame cycle translate directly to family settings and are worth reading before your next conversation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building real fluency with this framework over time. The first time you use the boundary method, it will feel mechanical. You will stumble on step 4 when the reaction catches you off guard, or lose your footing on step 6 when guilt floods in at the dinner table. That is not failure. That is how every practiced skill begins. Here is a realistic path to fluency over 3 months, weeks 1 and 2. Work only on steps 1 and 2. Write down the specific behavior and your clear need. Say these out loud to yourself. When you have a sentence you can deliver without wavering, you're ready for the conversation. Weeks 3 and 4. After the initial conversation, focus entirely on step 4. Write down the 3 most likely reactions and your prepared responses. Rehearse them until they feel natural, not scripted. Month 2. Commit to step 6. This is where the method holds or collapses. Apply the consequence calmly at every violation. If you miss one, apply it at the next. Month 3. Run step 7. Honest assessment. What has changed? What has not? Adjust your approach, not your standard. For navigating the broader pattern of recurring family conflict driven by unmet needs, how unmet needs drive team conflict, and what to say to restore synergy offers a useful lens on what is often powering the behavior underneath the toxic trait itself. If you are also navigating this in a workplace context, how to set boundaries with demanding colleagues without harming team synergy gives you the same principles applied to professional relationships, and how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy pairs well as a conflict resolution companion. What to take away from this? Toxic traits in family relationships do not repeat because the people involved lack love for each other. They repeat because there is no structure holding the change in place. Good intentions are the seed. The boundary method is the soil they need to grow in. You deserve relationships that do not cost you your peace every time you walk through the door. The method gives you a real system to build them clarity about the behavior, ownership of your needs, a consequence with actual weight behind it, and consistent follow-through that teaches people how to treat you. When you approach a conversation prepared to use scripts for addressing team members, you are undermining group synergy, or scripts for telling a team member their behavior is isolating them from the group in parallel professional situations. You will recognize the same principles working across every relationship in your life. This much I know for certain: the boundary method family approach works when you apply it steadily and without apology. Not perfectly. Steadily. That is all it takes. Frequently asked questions. What is the boundary method family approach? The boundary method family approach is a structured system for setting and holding firm limits with family members whose toxic traits cause recurring harm. It gives you clear steps from identifying the problem through to consistent reinforcement, so boundaries hold rather than fade after the first conversation. How do you stop toxic traits from repeating in family relationships? You stop toxic traits from repeating by moving beyond one-off conversations to a consistent system. The boundary method gives you 8 steps covering clarity, consequences, and ongoing reinforcement, because a boundary stated once without follow-through changes nothing permanently. What does each letter in the boundary method stand for? The 8 steps are: be clear about the behavior, own your needs, understand their perspective, navigate their reaction, decide the consequences, apply them consistently, reevaluate as needed, and yield to workable solutions. Each step builds on the last to create a boundary that holds. Why do family boundaries fail even after a difficult conversation? Family boundaries fail because people state what they want without defining consequences, then back down when the other person reacts with guilt, anger, or silence. Without consistent follow-through, a stated boundary becomes, as I put it and say it right every time, just a suggestion. When should you use the boundary method with a family member? Use it when a specific toxic trait keeps repeating despite previous conversations, when you need the relationship to continue, but need it to change, and when you are prepared to follow through on stated consequences. It is not designed for crisis moments or estrangement situations. How long does it take for the boundary method to work with family? Expect the first full cycle to take several weeks. Initial resistance from the other person is normal and does not mean the method has failed. Consistent application of the consequences is what shifts the pattern. Most people see meaningful change within 2 to 3 months of steady reinforcement. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.